Are you reaching your full potential? Some new tactics that were once considered experimental or even dangerous are becoming more mainstream. Host Jason Middleton talks about microdosing, meditation, and more now on Techonomics.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. Humans tend to push their personal boundaries, whether it's inventing new things or traveling to space or scientifically sourcing a new theory like evolution or string. Humans basically like to push things. And recently, we've used mantras like better use of daily habits or grit or 10,000 hours that help us focus as we muscle through our next challenge. But a surge in alternative productivity enhancers have been hiding in plain sight.
At this point, the FDA is now in Schedule 1 trials for MDMA, which is technically an empathetic. It expands your sense of empathy, right? On the street, it's known as ecstasy or Molly. They're using it, you know, it's so effective at treating PTSD. They're now looking at it for treating just regular anxiety and depression.
New York Times best-selling author Stephen Kotler and high-performance expert Jamie Wheel have a new book, Stealing Fire. And it exemplifies findings from 4 years of investigating the leading edges of this performance and creativity revolution. From SEAL Team 6 to the Googleplex to Burning Man to Nike's innovation team and more. The authors found a commonality here. They all seek to find how altered states can boost information, inspiration, and creativity. Here's my chat with Mr. Kotler and Mr. Wheel.
I'm Stephen Kotler. I'm an author, and I'm the co-founder and director of research for the Flow Genome Project.
Jamie Wheel, executive director of the Flow Genome Project.
Gentlemen, let's jump in
and
with
an author.
Oh, and yeah, that's right, you are an author because you are the co-author with Stephen for Stealing Fire, How Silicon Valley, the Navy SEALs, and Maverick Scientists Are Revolutionizing the Way We Live and Work. I was just coming off a story I was doing on workplace software, and I have to say, when I read the subtitle of your book and I was coming off of that story, I was like, boy, this is just a 180 from the passive stuff that comes with, say, Slack or Microsoft 365. You guys are really pushing an envelope. What was the impetus for this book, and how did you get to the point of publishing?
It's a great question. The book emerged organically out of our work at the Flow Genome Project, where we are a research and training organization focused on the peak performance state known as flow, or runner's high, or being in the zone, whatever your term for those moments of intense focus when everything else seems to disappear. Flow is an altered state of consciousness, you know, one among many. And as we were kind of training up organizations, and this is everybody from like Fortune 100 companies through Wall Street firms through kind of the U.S. military, we kept bumping into people who were very interested in flow, but they were also interested in a whole other slew of state-changing technologies. They were using EEG headsets to shift their brain waves and alter their consciousness. They were experimenting with microdosing and psychedelic drugs. They had profound meditation practices or were interested in new kinds of sexuality that seemed to alter consciousness. All these things that we were bumping into out there in the real world, different ways people were kind of going at the same kind of problem. And that's what caught our attention first. That's when we started to get the feeling that something bigger was going on.
Very future-looking. Jamie, what are some of the 21st century skills that this book addresses?
Well, fundamentally, what we noticed in all of the research across a bunch of different disciplines, I mean, everything from trauma healing to business innovation at business schools to simple sort of creativity and learning, was that cultivating very specific states of consciousness, kind of the right state of mind for the job at hand, massively boosts a lot of the skills that are essential for us today. And specifically, it's the non-ordinary ones. It's not just, can I come up with a simple factual answer for an obvious problem, what we would call kind of a binary solution. It's either true or false. The Declaration of Independence was written in 1776, right or wrong. It's much more the ability to see around corners and to connect otherwise disparate elements into the solutions to what we would call wicked problems, which are those complicated, more unbounded things. And, you know, an easy example for you guys where you are is traffic, right? And adding new lanes to the highway, which you would think would reduce traffic, actually momentarily does that. And then more people take that route. And, you know, 6 months later, you have worse traffic than ever. That's what's known as a wicked problem. Poverty is another wicked problem. The solution that presents itself rarely actually deals with the root causes and addresses it completely. So what we found is that as people shift and train their states of mind for learning, creativity, and collaboration, what people are coming up with basically more of them and more useful and practical solutions than they were when they were just taking a sort of direct rational assault.
I'm kind of at a crossroads with this because I want to get into your four emerging forces, because it seems like that would be a better explainer of your answer you just gave, Jamie. But I'm kind of paused because I'm wondering, am I activating parts of my brain that have remained dormant? Am I relearning behavior to affect that change or that physiological change? Can you give me maybe a 30,000 foot view of that before we move forward?
Great question. Let's start by putting a name around the states of consciousness we're talking about, because that's a helpful place to begin. We are interested in the book Stealing Fire in states that produce what the Greeks called ecstasis, which is a state where you stand outside yourself. That's what the word means, ecstasis. You stand outside yourself. So you change the channel on normal consciousness, and there's a neurobiological shift when this happens. Stress hormones flush out, performance enhancing, feel good neurochemicals rush in, activity in the prefrontal cortex sort of dials back. All those sorts of things start to happen as we make this shift. That is what is underlying all the skills Jamie was looking at. So there's a bunch of complicated neurobiology that shows up in flow states, in states of awe, in meditative states, contemplative states, in psychedelic states, in technologically mediated states, these common overlap, right? And using this overlap as kind of a signature, you start to be able to connect the dots between very disparate fields. You can see suddenly the Dave Asprey biohacking, neurohacking crowd is sort of doing the same thing as soccer moms with yoga practices, sort of doing the same thing as the 44% of American companies that are going to roll out mindfulness programs this year. Mm-hmm. There's a neurobiological overlap, and you can sort of use that as a map to kind of move forward into these states of consciousness. The four forces that you mentioned, psychology, neurobiology, technology, and pharmacology, are forces, really domains of research that are all accelerating very, very quickly and are all kind of driving this revolution in consciousness forward. We're being able to look under the hood for the very first time, see where this stuff is coming from, why it's coming, what it's doing to us, how it benefits us, how to tune it with increasing precision, and how to take it to scale.
Wow, there's so many moving parts to that, and I appreciate that definition. Thank you very much. Ecstasis is a great place to start. The four emerging forces is something also of interest. You mentioned microdosing a little bit earlier. I heard pharmacology come up as the fourth emerging force as you listed them. Can we dive into a little bit of that or another one that you found even more interesting? Because and then we'll get into your methodology a bit, because I'm compelled by the driven nature of your research when it comes to data and the usage of data. But let's go back to the four forces for a second. Can we make a pass at those, please?
Sure. I mean, the simplest is to understand that, you know, as Stephen pointed out, we really stand at a crossroads right now. And probably it's been true for the last, you know, trailing 5 to 10 years and may well kind of play forward from there for about a comparable amount. And psychology is the first of those. And that just basically means that, you know, since the end of World War II, if you guys think back to, you know, kind of our grandparents' generation, or the not your father's Oldsmobile crowd, right? The permissible range of who we could be, just our self-understanding and how far out we could kind of hang and explore and experiment with different aspects and elements of ourselves was pretty buttoned down. You know, the masculine ideal was the kind of strong and silent type, didn't express your emotions, you know, kind of buried it in drink if you needed to, and Susie Homemaker was kind of the, you know, mother's little helper, you know, sort of plastered on female domesticity. And the 60s came along, the 70s, there was personal growth, there was self-help, there was all these exploratory encounter sessions with Est and Esalen and all those kinds of places, and people really got to stretch the envelope. And they got to stretch it in a way that meant if I went outside the kind of pencil chalk line of what was acceptable, I didn't just fall off the mat. I didn't just get locked in the loony bin, and I actually had a range of personal expressions and developments, you know, all the way to today, where you can have a transgendered Victoria's Secret model walking down the runway to a standing ovation. You realize, wow, that is a lot of ground covered mm-hmm. in the last 50 years as far as, you know, stretching the boundaries. And what that's done is that's given people a lot more room to experiment and explore with non-ordinary states and also the information and inspiration that they bring. So psychology and just kind of stretching the envelope of the permissible is a huge one. And, you know, and then, you know, throw in the obvious of something like Burning Man, where people go out for, you know, a week in the desert and they try on different names and costumes and all these kind of alter egos, or Comic Con or even online personas, right, where people literally are starting to inhabit not just a more expansive version of themselves, lumps and bumps and weirdness and all, but they're actually even starting to inhabit imaginal or fictive versions of themselves, and no one's thinking they're batshit crazy and locking them up.
Right.
So psychology is number one. Neurobiology is number two, and that's the simplest sense of, you know, the sort of old Peter Drucker thing, and, you know, you've got to measure it to manage it.
Right.
Well, you know, with fMRIs, with EEGs, with all sorts of more sophisticated real-time measurement apparatus, we're actually getting the ability to see inside our bodies and brains while we're having this host of more interesting and varied inner experiences, and actually map and track those. And what that's allowing us to do, and then specifically the field of neurotheology, which is letting us map and track what's happening when we were having quote-unquote spiritual or religious experiences, we're starting to understand the actual biological mechanisms of those very things that in the past have always just been mythologized. And now they're just reduced to the level of we're also understanding the biological underpinnings.
That was best-selling author Stephen Kotler and high-performance expert Jamie Wheel. Their new book is Stealing Fire: How Silicon Valley, the Navy SEALs, and Maverick Scientists Are Revolutionizing the Way We Live and Work. They are also executives at the Flow Genome Project. Now, this is part one of two of this interview, so please check out kgoradio.com/techonomics for the other and, well, all, really, of our podcast segments. Or you can search Techonomics on Audioboom, Stitcher, and iTunes. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.